Section 4, Psalms 60 through 65. The wilderness. Psalm 60 bears the marks of the warfare origin of the psalm, and the title confirms this. Although Jehovah has shown his people hard things and made them to drink the wine of astonishment, Psalm 60, verse 3, yet he has given a banner to his faithful ones, an emblem of victory. That thy beloved may be delivered, Psalm 60, verse 5. Then follows a prophecy of the victory over the Moabites, the world, the Edomites, the flesh, and the Philistines, Satan in the guise of religion. This psalm closes with the exultant prediction of complete triumph over the nation's foes. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies, Psalm 60, verse 12. Psalm 61 speaks of the tabernacle and of the rock, two wilderness characteristics. Psalm 62 again emphasizes the rock, repeating the statement that he only is my rock, Psalm 62, verses 2 and 6. The title of Psalm 63 says it was written when David was in the wilderness of Judah. It is a Hebrew poem evidently based upon the historical fact of David's thirst in the desert, and the giving of food and water in the miraculous manner described in the book of Numbers, the wilderness story. Here again is the sanctuary. In Psalm 63, verses 2 and 5, the heavenly food provided by Jehovah for his pilgrim people is pictured as marrow and fatness. The pilgrim energy is set forth in Psalm 63, 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. This reminds one of Paul, who said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 19. In Philippians 3, 8, Paul tells us what this prize is, namely Christ. While David did not have that prize set before him, yet the same divine energy enabled him to push on and finish his work, Acts 13:36. In the wilderness, Israel had Canaan as their goal. The bride of Christ has the throne as her goal. May it be said of us as of David, my soul followeth hard after thee. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, Romans 13:12. The true pilgrim is the one who goes on in the Lord. The place where he camped yesterday is forgotten. He has gone on today in the knowledge of his Lord. He is following hard after God. Psalm 65, verse 4 speaks of the temple, a symbol of worship, and that worship in the power of the Holy Spirit is under the figure of the river of God. Psalm 65, verse 9. Worship is unto the Father in the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Ghost. The reference to God visiting the earth and watering it is another way of speaking of the outpouring of the Spirit yet awaiting Israel. This outpouring began at Pentecost but was rejected by the Jewish nation. Judgment followed and the nation was scattered. In the near future, Israel will be brought to repentance and the Pentecostal outpouring for the Jews will begin where it was broken off by their rejection of it and will be completed. In the meantime, the Holy Ghost is given to the church, and the work of gathering out a bride for the Son is nearing completion. The present dispensation is a parenthesis in the dealings of God with the Jews and with the world. That parenthesis will end with the rapture of 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Then Jehovah will again undertake for his earthly people, Israel, and they will be brought to receive their once rejected and now glorified Messiah. Section 5, Psalms 66 through 72, The Kingdom. The fifth section of Book 2 concludes with a marvelous picture of the kingdom set up and the king reigning. Psalm 66 is a review of the wilderness history and journey. This accords with the Deuteronomy character of the section. The deliverance from Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea is spoken of in Psalm 66, verses 5 through 7. The trials of the wilderness way, portrayed as going through the fire and water, are in Psalm 66, verse 12. The basis of their deliverance, the bloody sacrifices, are remembered in Psalm 66, verses 13 through 15. The power or place of prayer is described in Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20, with the conditions of being heard and answered. The entire psalm is a beautiful resume of the path Israel had traveled through the wilderness. It will find its complete fulfillment in the coming kingdom age. In Psalm 67 is described the relation that Israel will bear to the blessing of the world in the kingdom. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. The normal arrangement on earth is for the Jews to be in Palestine, restored to fellowship with Jehovah as the center of God's testimony, the witness of which is to radiate through all the world. The present subjection of the Jews to Gentile supremacy is an abnormal condition, a condition brought about by the sins of the nation, especially the sin of idolatry. In Luke 21, verse 24, this Gentile rule is called the times of the Gentiles by our Lord, who distinctly says that these Gentile times shall be fulfilled or come to a finish. Then Jehovah will intervene again in behalf of his chosen people, and the tables will be turned, the Jews again becoming the head of the nations of the world and the Gentiles being made subject to them. The result of this change is stated in Psalm 67, verse 2, to be world blessing, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among the nations. God's way is his Son, our Lord Jesus. John 14, verse 60. Jesus will be owned as Lord over all the kingdoms of the world. The next aspect of the result of the change is thy saving health among all nations. At present, the earth is scourged with sickness, political sickness, commercial disease, religious corruption, social maladies, and physical disorders ending in death. All the concoctions of statesmen, all the nostrums of financiers, and all the discoveries of science, the drugs, lances, scalpels of social, religious, and physical doctors, cannot restore the health of the fallen race. At best, they are but surface remedies, palliatives, opiates. Never will humanity cease its groaning until the great physician is on the scene and God's order nationally is restored. This is so plain, so clear from Scripture that the only wonder is that it has been lost sight of by those claiming to bear the name of Christians. It is lost sight, a proof of the judicial blinding of Christendom as foretold by Paul in Romans 11, and is a sign of the approach of the dissolution of Gentile world powers and the restoration of Jewish supremacy in the affairs of men. Then will the people, the Jews, praise God, Psalm 67:3, and then will the nations be glad and sing for joy, Psalm 67:4. For our Lord Jesus will administer a righteous government to both Jew and Gentile. When the Jews shall give their Messiah, our Lord and Savior, his rightful place, Psalm 67:5, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us, Psalm 67, verse 6. The earth will have a fertility never before known. The world will be converted and own the sway of the rightful sovereign, the anointed Son of God, and want and woe will disappear from among the sons of men. A beautiful description of the Lord's return in glory and the blessed result in the setting up of the kingdom is foretold in Psalm 68. His presence as God destroys his foes and those of Israel's, described in verses 1 through 7. In verse 8, the shaking of the earth and the dropping of the heavens speak of physical convulsion, earthquakes, etc., which immediately precede the revelation of the Lord from heaven. It began at Pentecost when the place was shaken where the disciples were assembled. The shaking of the bodies of saints in the latter rain manifestations signifies that the circle is well nigh completed, that the time is near when heaven and earth shall be shaken, and only the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Hebrews 12, verses 26 through 27. The plentiful rain spoken of in Psalm 68, verse 9, is doubtless the Pentecostal outpouring for Israel yet to be fulfilled. Joel 2, verses 28 through 33. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of women that published it. Psalm 68, verse 11, Revised Version. God's order is first the natural, then the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:46. The coming of women to the forefront in every part of the life of the world in these last days is full of significance. In herself, woman as well as man is doomed to failure. In Christ, subject to him as the head, woman has a beautiful, important place. Under the present disordered, abnormal state of the whole world, woman has as much right to go into any and all lines of useful vocation as man. For everything is in ruins as to the old creation, and it is not merely a question of glorifying God in the new creation. In the new creation there is neither male nor female, Galatians 3:28. For in Christ women are sons of God and men are part of the mystical bride of Christ. Certain regulations concerning the worship of saints are given regarding men and women, but that is chiefly for keeping the type or picture of Christ and his bride before the saints, and for the sake of order. The company of women who publish the word in this present age comprise both men and women, and can only mean the church, and especially the bride of the Lamb. But in the coming age, Israel is to be the restored wife of Jehovah. Israel is to be the custodian of God's message to the world. As the wife of Jehovah, she will be a great company. The hope of women in this age, through her self-efforts, however laudable, to bring in the millennium, is doomed to disappointment. The fact that she is proving herself man's equal in intellectual and executive ability in the natural is a significant omen of the end of the present order of things. In this, woman is a sign. The natural has come, next in order is the spiritual. Israel will follow the church in being God's testimony in the world. The fifth section of Book 2 closes with Psalm 72, one of the most beautiful descriptions of the king reigning in his kingdom, established on eternal principles of right. One of the first characteristics of the king mentioned is his tender regard for the poor. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Psalm 72, verse 2. Thy poor, God's poor. How gentle, how tender these words. God takes special pains to call the poor his own, very different from the kings of earth in this dispensation. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Psalm 72, verse 4. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, he shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. At last the oppressed of earth shall have a protector who will have the power to enforce his promises and to guarantee their defense from the rapacious and cruel of earth. Oh, that the laboring, toiling, downtrodden of earth could understand who is their friend, how they would hasten his coming by the spread of the gospel message. Thank God, a day of deliverance is near. Another aspect of the reign of Christ as king is that of universal dominion. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Psalm 72:8. Then he is to show forth the Holy Spirit. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Psalm 72, verse 6. Israel is the mown grass coming out of the furnace of the great tribulation, comparatively few in number, weak in prestige and power, poor and impoverished by the fiercest war ever known. But the Lord will send a revival, the like of which has never yet been seen, and of which Pentecost was a sample. This is that, said Peter. Pentecost was that in kind. Israel's latter reign will be that in both kind and extent. The entire 72nd Psalm is wonderfully rich in suggestions of kingdom blessing. It closes with the outburst of praise contained in verses 18 through 20. The prayers of David find all their fulfillment and answer in the establishment of the king in his Davidic throne and in the millennial kingdom. Hence the closing words, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." In Psalm 72, the king is seen as seated and reigning. Hence, David's prayers are ended in that they are answered.